It is December 1st, 2007, and you have downloaded, you have plugged in, you have decided to turn your computer over to Above Ground Testing, the podcast. My name is Paul Gilbert, and I'm your host for however many minutes this podcast is going to take place. The opening music is Crept Osculatorium, the Killfish remix from MJC, and I hope that you enjoyed it. We're always trying to get some interesting music, I am, to start the podcast. But let me first say, this being December 1st, it is International AIDS Awareness Day. I want to remind you that AIDS is still a scourge, is still affecting entire communities, is having a devastating impact upon nations, especially in the continent of Africa. Poor countries, for example, are losing teachers, doctors, nurses, businesses are losing workers, governments are losing civil servants, families are losing breadwinners, children are losing parents. It is impacting the world. Since it was first discovered in 1981, AIDS has killed over 25 million people. And of that number, at least 3 million died in 2006 alone. 15 million children have lost either one or both parents to AIDS. And 12 million, like I said, live in Africa. But the news is not all negative. There is medication available. In fact, the cost of the treatment drugs, antiretroviral medication that's used to treat people, costs now as little as $140 per patient per year. And to give you an idea how that has dropped, 10 years ago that same medication would have cost $10,000. So in other words, 10 years ago no one in the poorer world could afford it, but now it is available. What we need to do is to remind ourselves that AIDS is still there, to get involved with groups that seek to get rid of AIDS, that want to make these medications possible. If you are interested, I invite you, of course, if you're listening today, type in World AIDS Day, find out more information about it. Groups such as the One Campaign are places where you can start that will give you the information you need to fight and get others involved in the fight against this disease. I do remember years ago when it was first reported, and you know what it was called. It was called the gay man disease, and the idea was that if you had it, you deserved it. In fact, many, unfortunately I would say this, many preachers, especially those of the TV or media variety, were going around saying that AIDS is God's judgment against people. I want to tell you something, nothing's further from the truth. I don't know what Bible these people read, but it's not the same Bible I read. We don't live in a day of judgment, we live in a day of grace. God does not randomly strike people down with diseases. He calls out to them for salvation. AIDS is a disease that can be treated now, not like years ago. And we can be part of it. We can be part, of the solution. So why don't you do that today? Get involved and be part of the solution. World AIDS Day. It could be as simple as wearing a red ribbon. It could be as challenging as donating money, writing to people, maybe even getting involved in the fight against in the third and fourth world. But think of the part you can play in dealing with this global epidemic that now can be defeated. Since I've got a new podcast up, that can mean, of course, the E-Zine is up for November. Actually, it's been up for a little while, but if you listen to the last episode, you know I had a slight problem finding it. For some reason, I uploaded it to Podomatic. They were having problems, and when I went there, it looked like I had lost all my previous podcasts, but they all came back, and this one was lost, and I was looking around my computer. What did I do with that file? Well, fortunately, I was able to find it, and so I posted it. And I want to again thank Stephen Mead for contributing to that last episode. His work is fantastic, and I hope you've taken the time to follow the links in the notes and have learned more about him. And like I said, you've got to check out his work posted on YouTube. It's amazing what can be done, and I just leave you with that. Anyway, with this episode, I'm going to do a few things different. I've got some news that I'm going to do, kind of a news of the world. I've got another review of not a podcast, but a vidcast I like, and I'm going to share with that in a few moments. And just say a little bit about what's happening in the world of above ground testing. First of all, let me say that the new issue is up, and if you like, you can go to the main website, www.abovegroundtesting.com. There you will find a link to the current issue, and if you click that on, let me just see, I'm going to make sure it works, because this is the internet, this is my computer, and there it is, November. This issue features an interview with author-poet Lanaya Lee. Now she's got a new series of book out, a fantasy book about Atlantis. She's got one poetry book written, she's got another coming out. She also shares with us a poem called The 13th Sign. Other work, Michael Lee Johnson gives us some fascinating work, and you can read that. It's really good. And he is got a chapter book coming out as well. So I invite you to do that. We have a new poet, Christopher Major. Very unique style. He incorporates, and I am going to let you look at it over, and you come up with it and think about what you want. Charles Fredrickson, of course, brings us his combination of poetry and pictures. So we have that interesting, fascinating work there. So that's what is happening in the world of above ground testing, at least right now. And now I've got a few news articles I wanted to share with you that have to do with the literary arts that I have gleaned in the last week or so going to Google News and typing any of the literature or poetry. The first is, believe it or not, there's going to be in the state of Arizona a Christmas poetry gathering, a cowboy poetry gathering with the theme of Christmas. If you've ever studied poetry, you may be familiar with the genre of cowboy poetry. It is actually very fascinating in that it is work that, on one hand, was considered extinct or almost extinct, but it is coming back. And they had their kickoff at the Desert Caballeros Museum Friday night, and they are going to have the rest of the weekend poetry dealing with such things as cowboy heritage, songs of the West, humor, song, and story, and also, of course, Christmas-themed sessions. Everything is free. One writer says this, there's been a real resurgence over the past 25 years in an interest in the cowboy lifestyle, and especially cowboy poetry. It has a rich history. It's how they pass time on the trail, telling about their lives and their relation with nature and world, telling their own stories in poems, ballads, or songs. So if you're in the state of Arizona or nearby, and if you'd like to read about it, I'd like to see something about cowboy poetry, there it is, a three-day gathering. It is in Wickenburg, and it sounds fascinating. And if anything, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Also this week in the news, the author, Jane Rule, passed away at age 76 on her home in the islands off Vancouver coast. She was known as, and I don't know about you, but I think this is kind of regrettable. She was called a lesbian author. In fact, all the news articles I read, oh, by the way, it's a Galilano Island, speak of her as a lesbian author. She was known for fiction and as a role model in the lesbian community, so I guess that's important. I don't know. Do we want to put people in these boxes and categorize them such there? Like, do we hear she or he is a heterosexual author, or he likes chocolate pudding author? That's just mine. It says, however, that she was the first Canadian woman to write about being gay as if it was part of a normal life, so I guess that's pretty good. There was no self-consciousness about it. She didn't seem to have a need to wave a political flag. This female character is a lesbian. You picked it up by reading the story. You weren't reading the story to find out what it was like to be a lesbian. So I guess by that what they mean is that she simply incorporated them. Yes, she incorporated lesbians, she incorporated gays. They're just regular people, and they weren't, oh look, this is a lesbian. Maybe one day the human race will grow up enough that we stop putting labels. She's an author. She wrote good books. She passed away. Let us mourn her life. Let us remember her words. And that's all we need to do. Another bit of news. Michael Adonches has won the Governor General's Literary Award on Tuesday. That brings his total of winnings to 5, 3 for fiction and 2 for podium. So we have Michael winning another Governor General Award. Congratulations, Michael. You do indeed deserve it. Now, let's talk about review, shall we? What you just heard is, of course, the opening or theme music to the wildly popular podcast, Cranky Geeks, starring the Chief Crank himself, John C. Dvorak, who, as it says in the notes, his crankiness knows no bounds, is a contributor to PC Magazine, for which he's been writing columns, including the popular Inside Track, since 1986. He has also got his own blog, Dvorak.org/blog, something he mentions all the time. It's also known as Dvorak Uncensored. The show Cranky Geeks is a news show. Himself, Sebastian Rupley, who is the co-crank and involved in the PCMagcast.com, plus guests, and they can range from all sorts of different people. They've had, for example, everyone's favorite Kevin Rose, Alex Albrecht on. They had Irina Slutsky on. Just any number of them. Well, they've been going on for almost 2 years now. They've had 92 podcasts or vidcasts. And what they simply do is that John gives them a news article. They discuss it. And eventually he says, should we say anything more? Or he says, we've done that. Or it's baloney. Or it's a scam. And goes on to other articles. And it's actually pretty good. I enjoy it. It's entertaining. Let's put it that way. Cranky Geeks, if nothing else, is entertaining. If you've listened to Twit, you know how cranky he can get. Well, now take that crankiness, turn it into a half-hour vidcast, which is available every Wednesday. 12 noon is a live feed, usually about 6 or 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It is on their website, crankygeeks.com, and you can enjoy watching it. And I have a personal like of the show because a couple months ago, during the summer, they had on a special little segment called What Makes You Cranky. Submit your own videos about talking to you, what you made you cranky, and believe it or not, I was chosen. I was able to rant on the air, which is why I should get one of those t-shirts to say I was internet famous once. So that's, of course, something one can always brag about, isn't it? So Cranky Geeks, crankygeeks.com, take the time and watch. You too will learn, and if anything, maybe you get to see John C. Dvorak throw his cards around, which he does a great deal. And now more information and news for this month, and I'm going to conclude pretty well the podcast with this information. And this pertains to another e-zine that I did have a while back. Those of you who are familiar with the Above Ground Testing website, you know that Avant-Garde Times is there. Avant-Garde Times was an e-zine I established, a number of years ago. And the idea of it was that I was going to present an e-zine that would be for the cutting edge, the experimental poetry and literature that dealt with themes and issues that were probably not acceptable in Above Ground Testing. It was where the shackles were removed, the rules were no rules, write whatever you want, do whatever you want. It was your place to experiment. I did that for a couple years, way back when. And it was quite interesting. In fact, I managed to put together 9 issues of Avant-Garde Times. I'll be honest with you, I just simply got a little tired of doing it. So, you know, doing above-ground testing, doing Avant-Garde Times, sure it was quarterly, but it was just a little too much. So, I think I got myself a little burned out. Well, that was then, this is now. Under the, I'm going to use the word prodding, of Charles Fredrickson, who is a regular contributor to Above Ground Testing, he has poked and prodded and asked me if I'd be interested in starting up Avant-Garde Times. I said, I don't know, but he continued to, he wrote and wrote and wrote, and finally I succumbed to the pressure, and I am pleased to announce that Avant-Garde Times, and yes, I did write this once before, I was going to bring it back, I was going to resurrect it, and nothing came of it, but now I can tell you, and announce to you, that Avant-Garde Times is indeed coming back. Avant-Garde Times, and let me write you something Charles wrote to me, and we're going to include this in an FAQ. By the way, I have made him the co-editor. I wanted to make him editor, but he said, no, I do such a wonderful job. Okay, he's co-editor. He writes this about it, and I gotta agree. In fact, like I said, this is going into an FAQ. Avant-Garde Times represents a neo-progressive articulate forefront of rainbow spectrum visualization. Published every 3 months, the inaugural issue, due out March 1st, circle that on your calendar, everybody, features as its integrated theme, Illusions, the Mirage of Hope. The editors intend to play with perceived expectation, broadening perspective through a showcase of optical illusions, hoping to stimulate open minds to look again in more than one way, to think and then rethink again and again. So what we're looking for are creative talents to contribute whatever, poetry, art, poems, photographs, original artwork based upon illusions. We are pushing for it. In fact, we are not only just the two of us working on it, we also want to extend an invitation. If you'd like to be, say, co-editor of the musical part of the e-zine, or co-editor of the photography artwork, if you have an interest, if you have people you can say, hey, why don't you get involved, send me an email. And I'll give you the email address to it. It's avantgardetimes@gmail.com. So if you have work that you feel would be part of Avant-Garde Times, send it there. We'll be more than corporate. We're looking at different themes for the issues. Like I said, it's going to be every 3 months, so a quarterly, because neither one of us wants to kill ourselves. I sure don't want to kill myself again over it. But it's going to prove to be very exciting, and I think it's going to be a great experiment. I do have a wiki page. It is avantgardetimes.webpaint.com. avantgardetimes.webpaint.com. You're not going to find a whole lot there right now. Like I said, I'm working on it. I invite you to become a part, a member of the community. Click on the Join This Wiki page, and I'll be more than happy to incorporate you and include you in all future endeavors. So that is finally, Avant-Garde Times will be resurrected, will come back to life like the phoenix arising from the flames after all these years. And I guess I am looking forward to it. I will admit, I shall be honest and say, when he first approached me, I was not overjoyed about it, because, oh man, do I really want to get involved in that again? He twisted my arm. What can I say? It's coming back, my friends, and I'll keep you informed about it. I think I'm going to say bye for now. It's time for me to leave. I'm getting close to 20 minutes of me just talking. As always, I look forward to your input into this episode and any future episodes. Of course, I am on the Podomatic website, and my homepage can be found at paulg57.podomatic.com. There you can find all sorts of information about me. You can become a fan of the show. You can become a friend of mine. You can email me, podg57@podomatic.com. Of course, other places, above ground testing at yahoo.com is for the main e-zine. I hope that, you know, please send me a note. I like reading the email. If you have something like to contribute, if you want to send me an MP3 file of you reading some of your works, if you want to send me MP3 file of music, I am more than happy to listen to all you have to say and will incorporate, as you know, anything you send to me will be brought and made a part of the podcast. So I look forward to your creativity, your expression of that. I don't know if I'm going to have a Christmas-related show this year. I probably will. So just look for the next announcement of Paul's Podcast.